Appreciate that song.
I invite you to turn, please, to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. My message today will be a topical message, but we will begin in Hebrews 11 in just a little bit. So I'm giving you a heads up. Hebrews 11. This past week, we have witnessed, once again, the frantic Memphis response to impending inclement weather. The meteorologist predicted a winter storm with freezing rain. And, of course, the bread and milk, they flew off the store shelves. Home Depot ran out of generators and rock salt. And before midnight on Thursday, the city crews were out salting, sanding, brining, and spraying antifreeze. I saw dozens of school closings and church and business closings on the news before the first drop ever began to fall. Why? Well, because we knew what was coming and our city got prepared. The weathermen sounded the warning, and you know what? The people took heed. Now, when you think about it, much of what we do in this life is for a future event. We work to earn money to buy food that we have yet to eat. We provide for shelter, both now and for the days ahead. And for clothing, not just a one and done, but rather we intend to wear it until it wears out or the fashion changes. Preparation. In our earliest years of life, we were taught the ABCs and the 1-2-3s, along with the colors and other basic things. Why? So we can be ready for kindergarten and then for school. And during our school years, we learn and grow, and not just academically, but also in the school of life, if you will. And we do so because we are preparing for adulthood. Preparation. If we had an exam in school, I trust we took the time to study. If we had a job interview, we laid out our best clothes and got our resume up to date, and we got to bed early the night before. We desire to be ready. And so we intend to go to college, and we make wedding preparations, and we have vacation plans. We even prepare for retirement. Preparation. Permit me to say that there is nothing wrong with preparation. In fact, the recommendation is to be prepared. The Boy Scouts got that right, didn't they? And I trust you would rather that I would be making preparations for my teachings and my preaching than for me just to stand up, open up the Bible, and let it fall at random, close my eyes, point out a verse, and start from there. I should think that you would like for me to study. It is then my objective to address the subject of being ready. The title of my message is In Preparation. In preparation. And so let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we honor you, and we just trust that you've heard our prayers and you know the needs and the burdens and, Lord, those requests. And we just ask that you would answer according to your will. We cast them at your feet. We pray that by these things you would be honored and glorified because we turn to you and we look for your help and your rescue. We pray for the lost that may be in our midst today, that you'd be pleased to convict them of their sin and draw them to yourself that they might be saved even this day. And for those of us who are saved, we rejoice in the salvation you've given to us, and we praise you, we love you. Just cause us to be found faithful in our lives. Let us be obedient. Let us be responsive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit that dwells in our hearts. And God, we just ask that your will be done in everything that's said and done here today. And that we might be reminded that we need to be ready. We need to make preparation. And that's a good thing. And we thank you for the opportunity. So we commit it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In thinking about this subject of making preparation or being ready, would like to give you a few biblical examples, exactly three of them, and then I will give you some biblical exhortation, of which I trust shall be a blessing to your heart. First of all, as we think about the matter of preparation, I want to give you these examples because you might think, well, in the Bible, they never did make any preparation. They just kind of done it. No, that's just not true. There is preparation expressed in the Scriptures. And the first one I've asked you to turn into Hebrews chapter 11 is a concise statement that's being made here. And I'll give you the verse in just a moment, but I want your mind to go back to the book of Genesis and in chapter 6. You remember a fellow by the name of Noah, and that that time in the antediluvian world before the flood, that men had sinned so great that God was going to destroy the world by flood. And so in Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 13 down through verse 22, there's just a brief record there how God came to Noah and said, I want you to make an ark, build an ark for me, and I want it to be 300 cubits long and 50 cubits wide, and I think it was 15 cubits high, and I want you to build this ark because I'm going to judge the world and a flood's going to come, and so I want you to build this ark. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11 in the verse 7, the Great Hall of Faith. What we read here is this. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah prepared the ark. Some will suggest that it was 120 years in building. A long time it took him to build the ark. But he had to prepare it. And God said, I want you to build this ark because a flood is going to come. Make preparation. And so the ark was preparing. Second passage, if you would, go back to the Exodus chapter 12. Book of Exodus chapter 12. You think about preparation. Is there preparation recorded in the Word of God? Certainly there is. And this second example is found in Exodus 12, regards Israel on the Passover night. Israel had been in bondage in Egypt. They've been enslaved. God had sent Moses and Aaron, and they demonstrated the great signs and wonders. Nine of them had come to pass, and now they're coming down to the tenth, and it's going to be the death of the firstborn in Egypt. And yet it was the same time that God instituted the Passover observance for the nation of Israel. Now in Exodus 12, verse 3 through verse 14, there are statements in regard to this. I'm just going to point you out to a few of these statements because one of the greatest things that is necessary in the Passover is the Passover lamb. Now in verse 5 it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And so prepare for that. And then verse 13 it says, that the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And so the nation of Israel on the first day of the month was commanded to take this sacrifice of the first year. We read it in verse 5. Take it out. Hold it up till the 14th day. So there's 14, 2 weeks of preparation. They had to choose the right sacrifice, keep it up to the 14th, along with the other herbs and things of which they were to prepare, and then they would have the sacrifice on the 14th, the evening of the 14th, where they were to kill the sacrifice, take the blood, and put it on the doorpost and across the top. And so when the death angel came to pronounce judgment and bring judgment upon the nation of Egypt, the death of the firstborn, he says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Preparation. They had to make preparation for the Passover. And they had to make preparation for the death angel that was coming. If they didn't prepare, do you know what would happen? Even among the children of Israel, the firstborn would die in the household. Why? Because the blood wasn't there. No preparation had been made. There takes preparation for the Passover. Not only in the first, but in all the rest. Even Jesus spoke of in the Gospels how he sent a couple of his disciples out to go to the upper room. He said, there, prepare for us. Make preparation. He's going to observe the Passover before he is executed. Then, if you would, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Third example that I'll offer to you about preparation, and this is more of a roundabout application, but I think it'll make sense to you why this regards preparation. Here in Luke, chapter 14, in verse 28 through verse 32, we consider the subject of just counting the cost. So Jesus, expressing to these individuals, says in verse 28, pick it up there, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace." Count the cost. Very readily in those two examples there. You got to do something before you make the final approach. If you're going to build a house, you count the cost. Do you have enough money? Can you complete the project? You're going to go to war. You better figure out whether you can win the battle or not and whether you can go and fight. And so figure this out ahead of time. That's all preparation, isn't it? Now the context is talking about, and Jesus is using this in the expression of, how that we who are saved have to surrender the things of this life. If you don't count the cost as being a disciple, that's a very dangerous thing. Some people make a profession of faith, they really have no idea what in the world they're talking about. They hear the statement of, well, you believe in Jesus, raise a hand and repeat a prayer, and you're saved. They never even understood anything about what it means to be saved and be forgiven of your sin and have repentance and faith in Christ. How it's going to demand a life change and a difference is going to come about. And it's going to be service and faithfulness and commitment. Some just never have counted the cost. And Jesus in the text is just saying, well, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Count the cost. And some people make professions of Christianity and they don't understand what they're getting into. And then they say, oh, well, I can't do that. And I don't want to live like that. And I don't want to obey this. And that's too strict. And on and on and on. They have all these reasons why they can't follow Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because they never counted the cost. And Jesus said, count the cost. What is that? Preparation, isn't it? Preparation. So I've given you three examples of preparation, and let me give you a summation then that we can determine from these three examples, and certainly it's just common sense reflection. Four things I discern from this. Number one, recognize what is ahead. Number two, realize the need for preparation. Number three, reason the logical steps that it takes to be ready. And then number four, react properly. Make preparation. I think all four of these things will apply to any of the cases I've given you or any case we talk about here today. We can make application of these elements. See what's up ahead. Realize I've got to do something in preparation for this. I just can't let it happen. And so I need to make preparation. Then what do I need to do to make preparation? And then make that preparation. I think that's clear. So we have a few biblical examples that demonstrate that. What I would like to do then for the remainder of our time is offer you some areas wherein we ought to be ready. I have five of them that I'm going to give to you. And this is the biblical exhortation. If you should get into the concordance or if you have a computer program and you type in search for be ready, you'll find these verses. And the last one is going to use the word prepare. You're just going to have to know that one or type in the word prepare and look for that or any derivative thereof. But if you want to do your own study on these matters, you're certainly welcome to do so. But I'm going to give you five this morning. Biblical exhortation. First one, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. I encourage you, and I speak to Christians, those who profess faith in Christ, I urge you to be ready to serve. Ready to serve. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul writes to Titus and he says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now the exhortation continues, but we stop right there because the idea is, I think we ought to be ready to serve. Now he begins the verse and says, put them in mind. Now if you look in the context, you go back into chapter 2 and he talks about he talks to them and says how you ought to exhort the aged men, the aged women, the young men, and the young women. And then he says in chapter 3, put them in mind. And so when I think about the aged men and the aged women, the young men and the young women, I just would summarize it this way. Christians of all ages should what? Well, you ought to be subject to principalities and powers. You ought to obey the magistrates. Obey the laws of the land, my friend, but to be ready to every good work. So those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ ought to be prepared, ought to be ready, ought to be willing to do any good work. And I would apply this by simple statement of saying that this is Christian service and faithful living day by day. Anything that should come across our path, whether it be secular or whether we might define religious, whatever it might be, we who are saved ought to desire to be ready for every good work in any area, every aspect of our life at all time. I would say this, let your light so shine before men. Let others see your good works. And you know what? That takes preparation. Turn, if you would, back to the book of Hebrews chapter 13 as a related verse in this matter of good works and how that applies to our faithfulness in living and in service. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 21, talking about Christ working in us and through us, in verse 21 says that He would make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It is that we might do His will on every occasion, every aspect of life, and we might do that which is well-pleasing to God. Is it fair for me to say that you ought to be ready to serve? Ready to serve. That will take preparation. You have to think about that ahead of time. Now, I recognize as you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to make a related passage here, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I recognize that some things are going to come to us that we don't have time to think and we don't have time to prepare. We just have to respond. I understand that. But knowing that is the case, you can ahead of time make preparation and have in your mind what you might do if that circumstance should come about. For instance, if you look at your house, you say, well, we have a fire plan in our house. Well, and when a fire goes on in your house and your alarm goes off and the sirens are bleeping, you know, and all that kind of thing, you may not have a whole lot of time for preparation then. Me, I've got 100 things I'm going to do before I get out of the house. But that's supposed to be funny. But I do. I have a bunch of things. But anyway, you say, I've got this. But what you have to do is, when that happens, you're going to have zero time. So what you have to do before that, you have to think about, what will I do in the event that this takes place? So when I say I have 100 things I'm going to do, I've got it in my mind. I know where I'm going, here, and I'm out, as long as I can get there, I'm out the door. Well, that's my plan. I don't know if it's going to work, but that, I pray that I never have to try it out. But preparation. And my friend, all of us in our walk, whether it's in the world or whether it's in the service of the church, whatever we're doing, home, community, school, we must make preparation to live for Jesus Christ in every aspect of our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I ask you to turn over here because, and this is just an example, because Paul's speaking, and if you look at the concordance, you'll find these things here. The words, be ready. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, has already told them they desire to have a love offering and benevolence to give to others who are in need. And so this is what he says in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 9:3. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain on this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. And so, Corinth, you decide you want to do a love offering, you want to do benevolence, I want you to be ready. It's not wait until the time comes and then you're not prepared. But he wants them to be ready. Whatever aspect is in your life, be ready. Be ready. My application. Those four things that I mentioned in summary, you remember what they are? If not, they're on the back of the prayer list. They're in the outline. They're not under this point, but the four points are there. I'm encouraging you to apply this principle to every aspect of your life and to your service for Jesus Christ. And it is this: recognize what is ahead, realize the need for preparation, reason the steps that it takes to get ready, and react properly. Do you know, for the service today, I made preparation. How did I do that? Well, I'm not talking about the preparation of the message and things like that. I was up early to come over here to see if the roads were good, to see if the power was on, to see if we could even come together and meet today, and if we could do so with lighting and how the streets were and so forth. Preparation, that's all it was. Preparing for the service for today. But I also prepared for the service today by going to bed at a reasonable time last night. Preparation. Preparation. And my friend, if now I know sickness and insomnia and all kinds of things can keep us from sleep, and I have that kind of thing too. I mean, I figure out all kinds of things at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. But I'll tell you know what? My days of staying up till 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, they're over. They're long gone for me. I'm too old for that stuff. My wife will tell you, you come New Year's, I'll be fortunate to see 1201. Because I really don't care. It's going to come in with, I'm just not interested too much. But you know what? I go to bed at a decent hour. My wife thinks too early sometimes. Preparation. And if you're one that stays up all night and then you come in draggy-eyed and you can't stay awake and everything, I'm not talking about sickness or medicine or anything like that, but it's because you stayed up until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Now you come in and you can't stay awake in the service. You're not prepared. It's a simple fact. You're not ready. If you have class, if you have work, if you stay up all night, man, that makes it tough to get up and go, doesn't it? You're not ready. You're not prepared. Man, there are so many things in life, right? Be prepared. Well, we're going to discuss some of these other things in the four points, and we want to encompass them rather rapidly. So if you would, then, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Generally, in and overall, be ready to serve. Any aspect of your life, be ready to serve Jesus Christ. Have in your mind what you're going to do for His name's sake. 1 Peter chapter 3, then. Number 2, be ready to witness. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready. Be ready. I know that we don't have to have a college degree. We don't have to have all the ins and outs and all the theological discussions and questions that people might raise up. But I'll tell you, we ought to have a basic understanding of how we were saved, basic understanding of the Scriptures, so that if anybody, anytime, anywhere asks this, "Hey, how can I have forgiveness of my sin and go to heaven?" We ought to have that ready. We ought to be prepared. And I'll give you a clue, my friend. You say, "Well, I can't remember the verses." Yeah, I have trouble with that too. But you can't remember these kind of things and these arguments. You know what you can do? Simply tell them what happened to you. Give your testimony of Jesus Christ. You can tell that, can't you? You can share with them about Jesus and then see if God doesn't bring some things to your mind as you're telling them your testimony. Be ready to witness. Be ready. Do you want to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Do you want to tell others about Him? Then recognize what's up ahead. Yeah, I'm going to have to sometime give an opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to ask me. I want to be able to respond to them. I know that's coming. You see that up ahead. So then you realize, hey, I don't have everything down that I'd like to have down so that I could be a good witness for Jesus Christ. So I need to make preparation. So then you sit down and you think about that and say, okay, what is it I need to know to be a witness and testimony for Jesus? So then you take the logical steps and then just simply react to that. Aren't those four points that I just gave to you? And I'll tell you, if you're afraid to witness to people and if you don't have an idea what in the world you're going to say, you know what? You can prepare. Go home, sit down with your Bible, think it through. Ask God to give you wisdom and direction. Take a 3x5 card and write the steps down, things you'd like to say, verses you'd like to give. I'm not talking about a detailed exposition of all the theology of Scripture. Just a basic, simple thing that you can witness to somebody about Jesus Christ, that they can know that they're sinners under the condemnation and the wrath of God, and they cannot be saved in their own works and their own deeds. But Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. He was buried, crucified, risen again. Crucified, buried, risen again. And he's alive right now. And they can have eternal life by repenting and believing on Jesus Christ. And they can be saved. And you can put that on a 3x5 card. And you know what? You can stick that in your wallet or in your purse. That's preparation, isn't it? You can review it every now and then and go, oh, I just want to review this. Try to keep it fresh. Be ready to share. Be ready to witness. See what's coming ahead. Know that you need to do something about it. You recognize that. Do something about it and respond to it. Acts chapter 21. Well, that's pretty simple, wasn't it? Let's go to number 3. In preparation, may we be ready to serve. Number 1, be ready to witness. Number 2, number 3, be ready to suffer. Acts chapter 21, verse 13. Paul, on his way back to Jerusalem, stops at Caesarea. Agabus comes up, prophesies that he's going to be bound at Jerusalem, and that's a negative thing from all the Christian beloved brethren's perspective. And so they're crying out to Paul, don't go, don't go. And Paul says, verse 13, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Be ready. Be ready. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says that he knows this is going to come about, but he's ready. He's prepared. Are you prepared to suffer? Are you ready to be put under the gun? Now, I don't think anybody really knows that until they're actually put under it, but you can make preparation for it. All of our military and all of our police forces, they train for those things, crises and events and activities, so that they don't have to think about it when the time comes. They're automatically prepared for that. And it's just a response. It's what training does. By the way, that's why athletes practice all the time. So they don't have to consciously think about those things on the field or on the court. And I encourage you to realize that one of these days you need to see what's coming, that we might be called upon to suffer. And Paul says, I'm ready to be bound. I'm ready to die. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the prison epistle written to Timothy, he says, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul already has it concluded. They're going to kill me. I'm not getting out of here. Now, he did get out, and he lived a few more years before he was executed. But it's just the same concept, isn't it? Are you prepared to suffer? You better make preparation, because I see in our nation that we're losing our freedoms. And there may well come a day that you're going to be called on to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to make some preparation. I can't give you all the details on how to make that preparation. You're going to have to figure that out yourself on preparing yourself. But you know what? I ask God on a fairly regular basis, God, if I'm ever called upon to suffer, may I suffer well for you. May I be found faithful. May I not bring disgrace or shame to you. To me, that's preparation. Because now I'm praying for future time when my feet are held to the fire. Will I stand true or will I reject Jesus Christ? Preparation. Have in your heart, have in your mind, know what's coming. Pray for grace that's going to be needed for you in that time, and pray for wisdom that you would respond well. That's preparation. That's all I'm asking you to do. Prepare to serve, prepare to witness, prepare to suffer. Take those 4 points, apply it to the subject. Turn, if you would, then to Matthew chapter 24. Point number 4, Matthew chapter 24. I submit unto you that you ought to be prepared to depart. Matthew 24, verse 44, Jesus speaking about those end times, and he says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, tongue in cheek, many have laughed and said that that's going to happen during a business meeting of a Baptist church because he comes at a time that we don't think. Well, hopefully that's not the case for our church. Hopefully we think all the time, and especially in a business meeting. But what's the exhortation that Jesus gives here? Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Are you prepared for Christ to come back today? Are you ready for Him to appear? Now take those four points, desire and make an application of those four things. You know what's ahead. Sooner or later He's coming. He may come in your lifetime. He may not, but you don't know. So are you ready? You might be out in some joint someplace and doing what you ought not to be doing. You're not ready. What if He came back while you're there? Well, you're going to be a little bit embarrassed, ashamed at His coming, it says in 1 John. Don't be ashamed at His coming. Are you ready? Are you ready for His to return? Are you ready for you to depart from this place? And take those four things. Realize it's coming. Realize that you need to be prepared for that. Make the preparations that's necessary and respond to that. Know what to do and put it into practice. Preparation. Preparation. I'd say then, if just simply for us to be ready because Christ could come back at any time, I think you ought to desire His return. I think that's implicated in the passage. Desire His return and then also anticipate His return. Not just want it, but look for it. Anticipate His return. And then I would encourage you to live for Him. That's the best way that you can be prepared to depart, is to live for Jesus Christ. That goes back to the very first point, isn't it? Being prepared to serve. May God grant us grace to serve Him so that we not only are prepared for this life, but we're prepared to depart. And I would remind you then, as we live for Him, I'm going to read to you Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, where it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." That's preparation, isn't it? Cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. That's being ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the days are dark. Coming down to the end, let's be ready to depart. It's mentioned this way over in the book of Luke in one of the parables, in Luke 19 and in verse 13, where He said, "Occupy till I come." That's good counsel, Christian. You want to be ready to depart? Occupy till He come. Now the last one is this, number five, if you would, go back to the Old Testament scriptures in the book of Amos. And perhaps you might have guessed that that's where I was going. Amos, and in chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. Number five, be ready to die. Be ready to die. Now, in Amos chapter 4, the prophet Amos is used to speak against the nation of Israel, and he speaks to the nation, but verse 12, the last part of that verse, is a very telling statement for them, and it's still a statement for us that is applicable, I believe. It says in verse 12, "Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee," here it is, "prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Prepare to die. And whether you make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ here today or you don't, you need to prepare to die. Because it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You're not going to get out of this world alive. It's coming. And I don't care if you're 5 or 10 or 15 or 40. You know what? Death is coming to you. Are you prepared to die? Take those four things. Recognize what's ahead. You are going to slip out of this life. You are going to die. Number two, realize the need for preparation. Fact is, we are going to leave this world. Are you prepared? You know you're not prepared if there are things missing in your life, especially if you're lost. There are things, even as a Christian, you might want to see accomplished. Are you prepared? Well, realize the need for preparation. And then, of course, that point number three was to reason out the logical steps, the spiritual steps, the things that it takes to get ready. And then number four, react properly. Are you prepared to die? Are you ready to die? Christian, are you ready to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ? You know, one of these days we're going to give an account to the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. for the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Are you ready? Are you ready? But more succinctly, you that are lost, are you ready to die? You might think you are, but you aren't. If you're here and you're unsaved, you don't need to know Jesus Christ. He is not your Lord. He is not your Savior. You're a child of the devil. You're dead in trespasses and sins, and you are not ready to die. Because, my friend, when you take your last breath, if you're in that same condition, you're going to lift up your eyes in hell, and you're going to be under the wrath and the judgment of God for all eternity. And, my friend, you're not ready to die. I urge you, dear sinner, you who are not saved, to recognize your need. Know you're going to stand before the God of the universe. Know that you're a sinner. And realize the preparation needs to be made, but that preparation has already been made through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, was crucified, buried, risen again, that we might have forgiveness of sins. You can live through Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed. Are you saved? You say, I'm not saved. Then you're not ready. You're not ready. And if you should leave this place today and be killed in a car wreck on the way home, you're not ready. I urge you to be ready. I urge you to respond. Are you ready to die? Simple message, isn't it? I trust that it is. Helpful and encouraging. Telling, I hope. In conclusion, then, preparation. Preparation. See what's coming. See where you lack. See where you need to prepare. Think it through. Realize what those steps are and take action. No matter what it is in your life. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to serve? Are you prepared to witness? Are you ready to suffer? Are you ready to depart? Are you ready to die? I ask you, will you prepare? Will you take heed? Will you respond? Preparation. Simple lesson, but very necessary. Sinner, that you might be saved. Christian, oh, there are many things in our lives that we can make preparation for. May God grant us grace to do so. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? Standing as we sing. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you would bless it to our hearts, and we pray that you would encourage your people and save the lost. May we realize the importance of being prepared, of being ready. And we'll give you the honor and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?